Hey folks, welcome to Follow the Leader, a podcast focused on telling character-driven stories through the use of GM-less tabletop games where we can all take the lead. You can find us on Tumblr at FTLcast and at FTLcast.com. We also have a Patreon at patreon.com/FTLcast. Today, we're playing The Magical Repair Shop by Ash Cheshire and Ed Turner. For those of you who are new to this game, here are the basics. A magic item is more than the enchantments that bind it together. The item's history is bound up in it. Any half-competent street mage can light a sword on fire, but the spark blade awarded to your grandfather during the War of the Frostlings isn't just any flaming sword, it's an heirloom. When your family's ancestral fairy domain begins to unravel, when a beloved familiar is injured, when your mum's ring of farsight gets spontaneously dispelled, sure, you could get a new one, but you could never truly replace it. That's why they come to us here, the heirs and inheritors and lucky magpies with their broken treasures that they entrust to us, through the door that reads, "Welcome to the Magical Repair Shop. Everything can be mended." I'm Corey, and you can find me at co-host at Missy Nim, and on Twitter at Endless Musings, and my pronouns are he, him. Playing Mythly today, we have August.
Hi, hello. I am August. You can find me on Blue Sky at Harpy Dora or on Tumblr at Strange Harpy, and my pronouns are they, them.
And we have Sam.
Hello. I'm Sam. You can find me on Tumblr at SassyTale, and you can find my website at www.samkalo.art, which desperately needs an update at this point, honestly. My pronouns are he, they.
Our lines, which are things we absolutely do not want to see, are homophobia and transphobia, racism, sexism, anti-Semitism, violence against children and animals, sexual assault, domestic violence or intimate partner violence, unwanted pregnancy, plagues, and pandemics. Our veils, which are things we're fine with addressing but we'll just fade to black on, include steamy situations, graphic descriptions of bodily harm, and terminal illness. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's get started, shall we?
Woo!
This is a fun one. So we've got some personalities to put together here. Right now, the way that this rolls is we've got a set of artisans that run this magical repair shop. We could also do like minor roles, the people that are coming in to actually get their stuff repaired. A lot of the way that this gets put together is it's kind of like a project-based one. So if you've ever run like a Forged in the Dark game, for instance, they always have like project clocks and things. This to me speaks a lot to that kind of component where someone has like a long-term project and then they march through it over the course of like, generally it's several sessions, but in this one it tends to be focused on the project clock in itself and kind of all of the pieces and components that go into starting off a repair and then completing it fully. So definitely much more cozy vibes. With that though, each of us has an artisan to go through just for how everything is defined. And the book is nice because it gives you like four different styles you can go from. You've got wizards, which are your learned people. They go through like books and stuff. They're well practiced. They're, you know, extremely versatile. But they also tend to go by what's known. You've got like warlocks. They got patrons. Your patrons kind of dictate where they go for, but are also, you know, immensely powerful bodies of magic you can draw from. So they're like the power tools of this. Alchemists, who are very homegrown and natural, can kind of screw around a little bit, but also don't know exactly what they're going to end up with. And then mystics, who are just like people who like end up with powers and they're like, why do I have this? But also I can do something with this, I think. So that's a style. We also get specialties and then we get names. And we also get special names based on like what class you are. They give us good suggestions for each of these. So for instance, for me, I've put together a warlock. That warlock is named Heath Mason, the color outside the Aurora. They've got they, them pronouns. I have set them up as an Eldritch Warlock. And to sort of demonstrate the scale of suggestions that this game gives out, which I love and also gave me very specific thoughts, I set them up with the specialty of working on, like, buildings, like, whole-ass, like, houses and shit. So I will get more into, like, brain-wise how I figure that they can stick that onto a workbench and work on it. But in terms of appearance, Heath is pale. I said they're built like a rectangle because it just was, you know, stature-wise what came to mind. Generally dressing in a collared long-sleeve shirt with baggy pants, an apron, non-slip shoes, messy long black hair streaked with white, loosely tied back and held up with a hair clip, one pencil eternally parked behind an ear, one notepad eternally in the apron pocket, with more or less blue and black clothes, but acid green reading glasses as kind of an accessory feature, worn around the neck with a silver chain. So, with that said through, who else wants to introduce a character first?
So, I'll be playing a warlock as well. My warlock's name is Lila Hayes, otherwise known as Beelzebub's Chosen. Uses she, her pronouns. So, her style is a demonic pact with Beelzebub. But Lila is the kind of person who calls her patron Bubba. Because she's a rude, crude lady. She's got a tan skin, heavy build, stereotypical punk aesthetic with ripped leggings, a vest that's clearly a jean jacket with the arms cut off. She usually rocks heavy eyeliner and a spiked up mohawk that's dyed a kind of vivid, lurid yellow. Her specialty is musical instruments, which is great because that idea came to me and I know fuck all about most musical instruments, so this is going to be really fun. I just like the idea of this rude lady working on a magical electric guitar was what came to mind when I chose that specialty. So
very strong image. I do love that.
Yeah. I do really like it. I am playing Vera Stoneshaper. She's sturdy and stout. She stands about breast height against her peers at the shop. Her arms are bare, covered in a layer of soft fur. Her beard is smooth and large and voluminous and braided into three plaits, one at the center longer than the ones at the sides. Piercings adorn her ears, the center of her bottom lip, and her septum. She wears heavy bangle bracelets of solid stone with gems pressed into them as though into clay. And on her apron, you can find just dust from various projects. She is an alchemist, and her style is mostly involving stones and gems. So, from the most basic granite to the highest quality gemstone, she focuses a lot of her energy on the properties of various gems and their use in magic. And her specialty is, building on that, enchanted jewelry and charms.
Nice. Very much the image of, like, you know, all that time that people spend hammering things when it comes to, like, goldsmithing and being very delicate. What if you just kind of, like, folded the gold up around like a ruby, like a taco almost?
Oh my god.
Chomp.
It's better because you can do it with your hands, and that means that you can do it more precisely, right? Or something like that.
Exactly. And also, yeah. I feel like we should mention that our setting is in a similar vein to
our coffee shop AU.
Yeah, our coffee shop AU setting. I was trying to think of I was going to say our Valentine's Day special setting. And so we are going, like, magical realism, modern day fantasy. So my character is, as you may have noticed, a dwarf.
A dwarf.
A dwarf.
And then we've got a pair of humans to go along with this dwarf.
And then a pair of humans.
Yep. Yeah. I rolled a human thing for the extra feat at level one.
Yeah. Yeah, you went with the variant human, I see. That's fair. Taking a plus one in every ability mod was always kind of a rough one to me, so I understand.
Yep. Gotta min-max.
Gotta min-max. Gotta fit it out.
I just love having that that plus two to history checks when it involves stonework.
Yep.
Always really weird and specific, definitely.
Yep.
They're useless out in the forests. But yeah, so the nice thing about this, as mentioned, is that you can choose to do, like, you know, your normal high fantasy, vaguely, like, maybe medieval to, like, Renaissance kind of sitch. Or you can just do something like what we're doing here, which is, like, more modern urban fantasy, what have you. So the actual flow of this is, when we go through this, we go through a series of different scenes. All of these go vaguely in order, so we'll be running from top to bottom, from the opening of the shop all the way down to the closure of the shop. In addition, each of us gets to have a project that we work on, which, you know, that's what our specialties kind of point towards. We don't necessarily have to go towards those, but I think that's probably what we'll focus on. So when we start up, we go with opening shop. When we close out, we go with closing shop. Those are scenes that we go through. The opening shop one is sort of the day beginning. So to set that for everyone else here, for the open shop, we have the day has begun. Everybody arrives and into the nooks and alcoves where they do their work, greeting one another, preparing for the day, and making sure their workshops are in order. So we get to start with whomever is the first player. If we can't decide, then we go with whoever fixed something most recently. Once we're in it, everyone gets to do a move. The first one has to be an arrival move, and then we get to do getting ready moves. So in those, we do narration of what each of our characters does and answer questions that the move asks. After everyone's gone round once and done both an arrival move and a getting ready move, we can end and actually start working. So with that, who feels like heading first?
I had a quick question. And it's probably something I should have asked beforehand, but what does our shop look like?
Ah, a wonderful question. So are we like a boutique shop just kind of shoved into a building somewhere? Or are we something a little more bespoke, like in a place of the city, right? Are we the house that just like managed to stay standing amongst a bunch of skyscrapers? Or are we more, like, towards the outskirts? How are y'all feeling? What's the vibe?
I like the idea that we're in, like, a strip mall or something.
Oh my god, yes.
Oh no, so, like, we're not even in, like, we're kind of on, like, the roads outside the city, huh?
Or, like, just a smaller city. Like, we're definitely not downtown by any stretch of the imagination.
God, I can see it too. Like, you have to the left, you have the laundromat. To the right, you have the, like, epitomous, like, takeout place.
Yeah.
Wedged in between, you have our magical repair shop. And it just says that in, like, bold white letters that light up at night. Dang. Yeah, okay. Strip mall magical repair shop. Let's go.
Yep.
If that's the case, then I bet it's probably, like, you walk in, probably in front of you, there's like a little display case. To the left, I bet there's like that glass counter that you always see kind of running along the length of the shop. With that very particular type of shelf, right? Where like you kind of clip things onto it almost for display. And on the other right hand side, like a little, maybe a waiting area almost for like quick repairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see through a back door. And it's, I can't decide because I don't know how everyone's like workshop like layout is for each of the characters. My vibe would be organized chaos through the back, where like this is halfway a stock room and halfway up an actual work spot. But how are others feeling about that? Oh yeah,
organized chaos all the way.
Yeah,
hell yeah, let's go. Yeah, so you can't tell like what is supply and what is the thing being worked on, if not for the grace of a workbench existing to vaguely host the object in question on it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, do we do any, like, personalization to this to, like, to zhuzh it up a bit? Or is it mostly just, like, bare standard, we moved into this place, like, a few months ago and we're still getting together, like, how the aesthetic should look in the front?
It's a good question.
I kind of like the idea that we're we're established. At least, you know, we've been here for like a year at least. So we've got some customization. Like, we're steady enough that we can bring in like specialized equipment that's supposed to be more, you know, not moved around a lot, slightly more permanent.
Okay. Yeah. I can dig that. And then probably out front, like maybe we've put like a display on the glass, for instance, or maybe we have like recommendations or like photos of like previous projects or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have like a little partnership with like a local tea shop.
The tea shop's four buildings, like four units down in the strip mall.
Mm-hmm. There's like a little code up front where like, hey, input this and they will deliver to this spot while you wait or something like that.
Yeah. Someone will walk over from down there and come give it to you. Yeah.
Because we order from it so often. So.
Yeah. Okay. They're our friends.
Yeah. They're our friends. And we get ingredients from them sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, I also want to add a detail to the shop here. And say that, there is a sort of waist height on Vera, little stone golem, puttering around the front of the shop.
Nice. Yeah, I forgot. A little guy.
A little guy.
Everyone's gotta have a little guy.
Hell yeah.
Legally required.
And we do have a little guy.
Ready ho. I think I have a good idea of the shop. Looks. How's everyone feeling?
I'm feeling good about it.
Righto. So with that in mind, let's get on everyone actually showing up. So we've got some arrival moves to do, and we've got some getting ready moves to do. So I have a list. Everyone gets to choose from one of these. I think I could go with the opening up ones, if everyone's fine with that. So, the move that I'll be doing for Keith is I have immediate duties to perform, unlocking doors, opening windows, lighting flames. Why is that your responsibility? In this, when everyone was chatting, I had Heath positioned as more of an outsider type. New to the dynamic. New hire, yes, exactly. Intern. Or, well, not intern, but, you know, newest person, so... I think that they are sort of the one that can get together and are, in fact, the ones that are supposed to get together first and get the place ready for the others. So I think this includes, like, pulling up the shutter, like, getting the doors unlocked, getting the lights turned on, helping our little guy clean up around the place a little for the higher spots, dusting, mopping, what have you, to make sure that everything's presentable. Like, it's a lot of the general, like... grocering of things, making sure that it's all turned the right way, making sure that it's not like knocked over or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The floors are clean, setting up the register, all that kind of fun stuff. And then they would get themselves prepared, tie on the apron, get their glasses perched up and ready, make sure that everything's been squared out for the day to start for. It's not a like amazing appearance necessarily. I think they just kind of walk in from the back. It's very quiet. But as they're going through and doing this cleaning, there are reflections in their glasses that you can see through. There's little portals where, like, it's not just them moving things about. There's also bright bands of colors around coming from strange places in the room that are nudging this one way, or turning it another, or making sure that it's all aligned to standard geometry, and that it all looks appealing to someone walking in through the room. So, that's Heath taking care of the setup. How's everyone else rolling in here? What's your moves?
I'm gonna make my way slowly up the path to the magical repair shop. In this case, I feel like that means Vera's gonna, like, pull into the parking lot in front of the strip mall. Yeah, fuck it. She's gonna be riding a motorcycle.
Nice. Let's go.
yeah, she arrives on her little bike, hops off, starts her day off by going into the tea shop down at the end of the strip mall. You know, she's taking her time. She's just sort of looking around. And what stands out to me as I look at the building itself? I think what stands out to Vera is, like, it's really starting to feel like, you know, their space. You know, as she's walking in, it's like, it's really starting to feel like, you know, her second home. It's her workshop. It's, you know, she's really, she, what stands out to her is that she's, there's just like the emotions of like, look at what we've built and look at where it's gotten to from where we started.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
All okay. Right. So Lila arrives in a spectacular and magical way. And I think the way that Lila arrives is she comes through the door and there's like the sound of a guitar solo. She has entrance music.
Is the entrance music playing on like a artifact of some kind, or is it just like there?
It's just there. It's
beautiful.
It's as if the soundtrack is actually diegetic.
Love it.
Nice.
I think everybody is probably used to this. I think she comes in like this every morning.
Morning, Lila.
Good morning.
Sort of looking up, like, nodding. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and that's how Lila arrives.
I feel like Vera doesn't even, like, look up to, like, look at Lila. Like, she hears the fucking guitar solo and is just like, yep, Lila's here.
Yeah. Yeah. He still visibly reacts. Is it the same one every morning, by the way, or is it different? Like, what's the...
It's different, I think. I think there's probably a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it stays the same each day of the week. And I think this is partly like how Lila reminds herself of what day of the week it is. So like, you know, time blindness is a thing. So she doesn't lose track of what day it is.
Everyone benefits too. That's great.
Yeah. And something that Sam and I were talking about is Vera and Lila having gone, you know, been roommates during like college age years. This is probably something that has been going on almost that long.
Has the music changed at all since they were in college? Or
yes. Same? Yes, okay. It has changed. It has changed. I don't think it's the same music from college, but I think that the music has been there ever since Lila forged her pact with Beelzebub.
Incredible. Oh, incredible. I love this.
That's nice. Is it Bubba's choice for music, by the way? Or is it Lila's choice?
Yeah, who picks the music? Is it Bubba or is it Lila?
Who picks the music? Who's the DJ in the shotgun seat right now?
I think it's Lila.
Okay.
I think this is Lila's choice because it's like a punk rock guitar riff.
Nice.
I love this.
It's very good, yeah.
It's real good.
Okay. Well, now that we're here, we'll go around and do some getting ready moves, so... I think since Heath has already kind of taken care of front of house, they're going to pull up the agenda from under the counter here and start heading towards the back, just kind of flipping through the pages. They are looking over their schedule for today. So some of these moves, the way that they happen is they link together with other special moves that are triggered by other scenes specifically. So In this case, this move here has a trigger for doing the create a project move. So as an artisan, you have a task in front of you, a magical item in need of repair or restoration. So we need to take a look at it to understand just what it should be and how it should be repaired. That's a scene for one artisan, not selected directly. It always happens as a brief interruption during another scene, and everyone only gets one of these per go-around, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a list of questions to answer, and I need to either answer it or go through some dialogue with the character to go through this in order. And if need be, you can always ask folks to answer the questions for you. There's also some suggestions at the end of the book that provide for project ideas, just in case you want to get the tides moving a little bit. When everything's been answered, you end and go back to where you were before. So I've got five questions in order. Where is the item right now? Who owns the item? What is the item? What effect is it supposed to have? And why does it need to be repaired? So I'm going to go with answering the first couple. I think the item as it stands, since it's a building, it's somewhere within like 3 miles outside of like the city limits. It hasn't yet been encroached upon by either urban or suburban sprawl. And it's an old style house, something that's been built in maybe the last like 200 years or so. Remarkably well held together structure. Made partially out of wood, hewn a lot out of stone as well. It's kind of like an old fortification. For who owns it, this is something that has been passed down within that particular line. It's a bunch of wardens. It used to be for the shape of the city, I think, that there were places like these dotted along the roads to kind of ensure that people could pass safely. So whoever owns this is the inheritor of that kind of long line of road wardens. I think that also answers what the item is, which is a sort of watchtower combined with house situation that provides not only physical protection and sight on the area, but magical protection to travelers passing through to make sure that they can both get along and preferably do so without being harmed. I want to throw this out to others, but does anyone have any ideas for what effect this is generally supposed to have?
Sorry, what?
This magical watchtower, taking suggestions for what the effect is supposed to be, if anyone is down to provide one.
Maybe, like, there's meant to be, like, lights. Like magical lights, and like almost like a lighthouse or something.
Okay, yeah, like a land lighthouse. Give people a beacon, right, in the darkness.
Yeah, I don't know, August. What was your idea? It might be better than mine.
What immediately sprang to mind was like a reverse haunting. Like the house has a helpful spirit in it. Ooh. And I mean, it could. We could combine that really easily. Like, the spirit has lights that it's supposed to keep burning. Like, it's... And something's happened either to the lights or the thing tethering the spirit to the house.
Okay. Gotcha. And then that follows for why does it need to be repaired? So, what's happened with this thing? What do y'all think?
I think someone was mean to the spirit, and now she's hiding.
Ah, man. Someone didn't do something properly, or they just didn't treat our spirit correctly. Okay, that's fair. So the way that this all ends up looking is, and for Heath, it's always a little funny, but they have their workbench set up with a lot of materials on it. The thing is that it looks almost like a model kit in this workbench. Ooh. Like, you have paints, you have... like wood, stone, all that kind of stuff sort of scattered around. You have little kit things that you can add on. The complication about this is that all of these materials set up on the bench, they're to scale. It looks like it's a model, These are actual ass things that Heath is putting on. So when they actually size up the tower here for the Road Warden, they place their hands on the workbench and draw them upwards from a circle that they have in the middle of it. And there is a flash in their glasses again, as from the circle, first there is an impossible bloom of colors just spreading out across until a building rises from the midst through that magic circle. With a gesture, they sort of cut away to the middle of it to see what the insides are, and they can start working through the model that way. And along with that, a set of lights would show up sort of along the sides that they would poke at and prod at just to make sure that everything's in order before turning their attention to the inside of the house. They'd have their notes on the side of the bench, specifically not within the region of that magic circle, because they don't need to introduce that into the world. But flipping through to sort of see what it is that the Road Warden said about their notes. And alongside, they can see, like, hey, we've had this long-running spirit that supported our family in their duties for encouraging travel and making it safe for people, but something's happened, and that spirit isn't responding anymore. We call for it in the nights, we call for it in the mornings, and it just doesn't seem to be responding anymore. We're not sure if it's moved on, we're not sure if it might have passed from this world, but everything that was formerly working in our watchtower is no longer working. So we'd like someone to help get to the bottom of this and find out if it's maybe something physical or maybe if it needs a little more helping along in a spiritual sense. So what they're doing is just kind of adjusting everything to start with, but that's what their bench is fit out with. So that's the schedule that Heath has set out for today, is just getting ready for the upkeep and then the actual pet play stuff of this. And the way that I had this all imagined, like, camera wise, is it's essentially like a big old game of The Sims on that bench. We're in build mode right now. We'll go from there. We'll see how it works. But yeah, that's how Heath is looking for getting ready. How's everyone else looking?
I'm gonna putter around the shop for a bit. And the question here is, what interesting things do you see? What memories do they bring up? To start with, one of the main things that Vera sees is her little guy, whom at first, when they first opened the shop, she would bring the golem to and from work every day, riding on her motorcycle right before, like, right in front of her with her, like, arms around him she has discovered that her bike rides a lot higher when she doesn't have her little buddy on the bike. And so she is just sort of looking, taking a minute to say hello. I should probably come up with a name for this little guy, huh?
Yeah. My brain went to the word nice first, like the rock nice.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's the vibe you want to go for, but
no, like, it is nice good. I'm guy. Just like, now I'm trying to think of like a funny pun that can go with that. I don't know if nice is a good name for the guy, but like, I'm trying to think of a better name for my little buddy and I don't have one.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's been an overriding situation. Like, what are other types of rocks? I don't even know. Granite, marble, conglomerate.
We've got schist, we've got chert, we've got lots of different types of rocks.
Chert is a funny one, just to say.
Yeah.
I could just, like, call my little buddy Chert. That's his name now. Not a funny pun, but I'll go for it. Yes. So, yeah, I'm just, you know, looking over my little buddy Chert. Making sure he's all, making sure, you know, all the enchantments on him are in place steadily, like, perhaps like re-carving the runes on his forehead with her like pinky finger, just sort of like drawing her finger through it to make sure that the lines stay clear. And I think that Chert kind of just like stands patiently waiting for Vera to finish. She gives him a little pat, stands up. Other things she sees and memories they bring up. I feel like there's maybe... So to add more context to the background of Vera and Lila, they were roommates in like freshman year of both of them went to Wizard College. Vera dropped out very quickly to go become an alchemist. What did Lila do again?
Lila sucked at being a wizard, but her parents really wanted her to get through magic school, so she forged a pact with Beelzebub to get an A.
Do her parents know that she forged a pact with Beelzebub, or, like, do they think that she's a wizard?
I think they think she's a wizard.
That's what I thought. There's a there's a little banner of the wizard school alma mater that neither of, or that Vera certainly didn't graduate from, but Lila technically did. And that sort of just brings up memories of college life.
Vera looks at it and goes, yeah, that was a good year.
It certainly was an interesting year of my life. And then she sort of just like glances at Lila and is just shakes her head, fond eye roll, and goes back to, you know, puttering around the shop, like occasionally like fixing a thing here and there. Like Heath's already gone through and done most of the major work, so Vera's just sort of like checking for anything else that's out of place that like Heath might not have noticed because they're new.
That's a vibe.
Yeah.
Nice.
How's Lila getting ready?
I'm gonna greet one of my fellow artisans. Who do you have a bond with, and how are they doing this morning? So I think, I mean, we've talked about how Vera and Lila have a bond, but yeah. I think it's interesting to drag Heath into this mess.
Absolutely.
Please, thank you.
So Lila comes up and is just like, hey, newbie. Even though he's probably been working here for a couple of months now and is no longer a newbie.
Heath is the forever newbie, though. Because...
Yeah, I think they take it on the chin. Like, you're in that until someone else comes in, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, she's like, hey, newbie, what's up?
I mean, I got this big thing to work on. Have you seen... I've showed this to you before, right? Like, standing back, like, pointing at the model kit set.
Lila kind of bends over to look at it and lets out a low whistle and is just like, looks fancy.
Yeah, just don't stick your finger in the circle because it'll cause strange things to happen. But, you know, first one of the season, looking forward to getting it started. Haven't done a lot of it here. Usually I have... a lot more to work with, so it's interesting working with limits. It's nice.
Sometimes a little challenge is good for you.
Yeah, definitely. What's up with you? Sort of attempting to lean casually on the bench, and then like having to do, you know, where you think your elbow is supposed to land, and it turns out it's a little below, so they have to like lower it actually at the last moment.
Lila does not say anything, you know, does not comment on that, but she does kind of grin and is like, oh man. So I know create a project isn't part of this move, but I feel like I need to play create a project because Lila's about to launch into what she's got for the day.
Yeah, let's rock.
So... where is this magic item right now? I think it's at Lila's workbench. Who owns this magic item? I think it is someone who is 1/8 Siren, because I think the magic item is an enchanted lyre.
Okay.
And what effect is it supposed to have? My immediate thought is, like, it's supposed to enchant people, you know, charm them.
And it's sort of thrall.
Yeah.
Because the person who's a siren can't do it on their own because they're not, they don't have enough siren blood in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little magical enhancement. I totally get it. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just can't get it up. Sorry. I'm rowdy today.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's spicy today. Okay.
And I think it needs to be restrung. But, like, you can't just get some strings from the store down the street, you know, from the music store. You have to, like, there's a special kind of filament that you have to forge yourself. Maybe it's, like, dream filament, so you have to somehow tap into your dreams or someone else's dreams and form that into something physical to string the lyre with.
So it's not as simple as going down to my local guitar center and buying some nylon strings.
Yep.
Magical guitar center.
Magical yep. guitar center. A frightening phrase, truly. You hear people noodle around on the guitars in the guitar center, the magical guitar center. You don't know how that's going to turn out. Someone could hit the wrong chord.
And then there's zombies.
Yeah. And, like, nothing happens. It's just kind of awkward.
Yeah.
They stopped building those near graveyards for that reason.
It's just like, why did you raise me?
God. My friend of the show, Brian, Roomware Pod, used to work at a guitar center. I'm certain that he is cringing at the thought of working at a magical guitar center.
You pick up the wrong guitar and suddenly things are terrible and it's mm-hmm. like you gotta pay for that. It's like, well, I was just looking, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of everyone playing Smoke on the Water that's been banned, you also can't play Hallelujah.
Yep.
No Wonderwall either.
No Wonderwall. That's the worst one. That closes the shop for business immediately.
Jesus. Yeah, so Lila shows Heath the unstrung lyre in response to Heath showing off their project.
Nice.
And I think that's my arrival move. Do we want to do another round of arrival moves, or do we want to proceed to
picking some scenes?
You know, after we end the scene, we play track progress.
Yep.
Got it.
I don't know. I think I'm ready to go forward. Huh.
Yeah.
Scenes from a hat. Sorry. too much whose line. Let's track some progress, shall we? Oh, wait, hang on. So that's also one of the special scenes, as is delivery. So all of those are project specific and get triggered by other things that we'll run across here. So various things that we have in terms of what's on the list. We can do things like have little confessionals. If you've seen, I feel like any competition or home improvement or something show, you might know how that goes. A little aside with the hosts to go through what the sitch is and how they're feeling about it. You can do an interview of the client where you talk to the owner of your project about like what its history is, their sentimental value, their background for that. You can sometimes you just do a montage because you don't need to talk through every detail. You can kind of speed through the deets and show off like the sizzle reel of how you fix up the object or what progress you make on it. You can stick your heads together where you talk to everybody else and, you know, consult with them for how they do things, what their skills are, their particular moments of expertise. You can take a break. Very important. Extremely important. Please don't work straight through a project. Please take 15 minutes of break every time you play an hour of video games. And then you show off what you've got where you get like, you know, they run through the shots of like, this is the thing in its full completion. Once that's all said and done, everything. When you're done with work, you can close the shop up. But that's the last thing. We don't want to start that now because that would be a very funny and quick end to everything that we're doing here. So,
also, I just love the note. On the open shop at the ending of the open shop is Any player can end the scene, tell everyone in a firm but jovial way that it's time to stop puttering around and start working.
Yep. And that's where the track progress comes in. So yes. let's get to work, shall we? So we've got a couple of us that gets to track projects. That's for Lila and for Heath. Again, I feel like I'm pulling scenes from hat. As you go through the day, you will work on your project, sometimes in obvious ways and sometimes more subtly. Think about how much you've gotten done so far. It might be more than you'd realized. So this is a scene for every artisan who has started but not yet finished a project. Don't select it directly. It's triggered at the end of most other scenes, like getting started, for instance. So one at a time, in any order, we can talk about the thing we've done to work on a project. Sentence or two at most, sort of reiterating our actions in the previous scene. If our artisan wasn't in the previous scene, they might have been off doing research or picking up things from the apothecary, which is also important work. So we can do this and fill in as many segments of the clock as we feel are appropriate. The progress clock, mind you, I believe is normally, what, 8 segments for a project?
Yes.
So we can fill that in as much as we like. The way that it suggests looking at it is, if it's an incremental improvement, you can do like 1 segment. If it's like a major leap forward, then it recommends 4 or more segments. And then we can note what we've done in the progress report for each project. When it's filled, when you got your clock all the way up, that project is complete. So after everyone's tracked project, it'll end. And then if someone's finished the project, they can do delivery. If multiple people have done it, then they can do delivery in any order as well. But I don't think we're going to get that done this quickly. We're not that efficient. So, I don't know. How does Lila feel? How's her project going?
So I think I'm going to fill 2 pips on my clock because Lila walks in or has a box under one arm. This box is carved out of like ebony wood and it has golden inlays on it. In some demonic language, and she sets that box on her workstation, and it is a dream essence that she captured last night.
Nice. Came prepared. Very cool.
Yeah. So that is what she's done.
Okay. I think Heath gets a whopping 1. They just got their stuff in order. They just received the letter. So part of what they were doing, like the day prior even, was setting up their workbench to actually have this model together so that they could work with it. They've only started to really get into it elbows deep now. So some of it is just reading over like what the road wardens provided as a description and also getting familiar with the layout so they can determine, like, where is this friendly spirit hosted? How can I interact with it and make sure it's comfortable and maybe start getting things back along and working? So a lot of looking, not a lot of touching just yet. Okay. So now that we've done that, I think we just roll along the rest of the day's activities. So we can do things like confessionals, we can do things like interviewing the client montages.
I would like to interview a client. I have a project yet.
Let's get a project for Vera, shall we? So
get a client for Vera.
Yeah, and this is good, too. The book recommends making sure that the same person is not kicking off a scene every time, so it's kind of a pass back and forth sort of the situation. Yeah. Interviewing a client. Knowing the type of spellcaster and the context they're working in can help you to understand a magic item, but just as important is knowing why the object matters. What does the owner care about, and what does repaired mean to them, in quotes, I should note. It's time to find out. This is a scene for one artisan who asks another player to take on the role of the client, the person who brought in the magical item to be repaired. If other players want to jump in as other characters, whether they're friends and family of the client or their own artisans watching from the sidelines, there's room for that. So the client gets to describe who they are, what they look like, and the artisan gets to describe where the meeting is taking place. So we know who our artisan is. Who's the client? Who do you nominate, Sam?
I will say August be my client.
Hooray, hooray.
Alrighty.
Alright.
So you get to ask questions. The client gets to answer the questions. It might have additional discussions, so don't feel hemmed in by this. If you're trying to get like elaboration or details or observations or thoughts, sometimes the client doesn't know, so you get to guess. And sometimes they're broad enough that they can also answer other questions at the same time. Once you've got enough questions answered to everyone's satisfaction, or rather, when the question has been answered to everyone's satisfaction, the Utterson then goes along and asks another. And at any point after you've asked at least one question, then you can end the scene, thank the client for their time, and assure them that they have totally put their project in the right hands and to trust you, bro. So once you're done with that, you can track progress. So we've got a list of questions to go through. Go forth and conquer.
First, I need to describe who I am and what I look like.
Yep, sure.
And then, Sam, you need to describe where this meeting is taking place. So I think this person is a kind of mousy, timid woman who is wearing, like, a lot of stuff to ward off the evil eye. She's very twitchy, and I think she's very timid when she approaches, like she's not quite sure that she's making the right decision.
Well, hello there. How can we help you today? What do you have?
Are we meeting in the shop? Do you have like a private office that, you meet clients in, or is this just out front?
Let's say that there's a, maybe not a private office, but like, there's a, like a space with like some couches, like right near the entrance of the workshop where like, you know.
Like a consultation space?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Cool.
Welcome to the Magical Repair Shop. What can we do for you today?
Hi, I've forgotten my own name,
Oh no.
Oh no.
I'm Mirella, and, I have an amulet that, I need repaired.
Of course. Well, let's pull over into create a project for a minute. So...
we're answering the, what have you brought?
What have you brought? Okay. Where is this magical item right now? I'm guessing it's in this lady's hand.
Yes.
Perfect. Who owns this magical item? You said her name is Mirella?
Yeah.
I love it. I don't know why, but I decided, like, in my head that this woman was a gnome.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
I heard mousy, and I was wondering if, like, literal mouse? Question mark? So, that's good.
No, I love the idea that she's a gnome. That's a good shout.
Who owns the magic item? I'm guessing it's Mirella.
Yeah, Mirella does.
Excellent. What is the item?
I think it's an amulet of some sort. Maybe a piece of, like, hammered bronze that has some sort of warding language inlaid on it.
Maybe some like magical stones on it to add to its...
Yes. Some sort of quartz that is supposed to absorb negative energy.
Hold on. I wanted to do a fun gag with my character where I had one of those like the metaphysical properties of stones type books on hand to use as like my like quote unquote spell book, but I don't actually have that. But stone for protection. Looks like black tourmaline's one of them, but amethyst, clear quartz, hematite, and smoky quartz. So quartz was dead on.
Yeah, nice. I was raised neo-pagan, so some of that stuff has stuck with me.
I love that.
Very cool.
I've always had nothing but disdain for the concept of metaphysical properties of stones, but it's great. It's great narrative stuff. It's great narrative fuel.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, a couple of different quartzes around the edges of the amulet. What effect is it supposed to have?
It's meant to absorb negative energy and redirect it away from the wearer of the amulet. Like I said, Mirella appears to be very paranoid. Very, very concerned about harm coming to her, as evidenced by like all of the warding jewelry that she wears. So,
poor woman.
It's, yeah, I don't know if like her fear is justified. I think it's fun if we don't know, but, that's what's motivating her.
Why does it need to be repaired?
God, is it something as stupid as, like, she dropped it?
And the stones fell out?
Yeah.
God. Has she been seeing, like, omens or something now that it's been busted?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. 100%. Like, as she was on her way in, there were a pair of crows fighting over some sort of food in the parking lot.
Some fries.
Yeah.
Nice.
At this rate, we're gonna fill out this whole strip mall with just like there's a shawarma place, there's a tea place. I've decided that the fries came from a shawarma place. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. I get it.
That's just where my brain went. I love this.
That's a takeout joint. Yeah.
Yeah, takeout joint, laundromat, us.
Yes. This is a good strip mall. I love it.
I love it. No, this is a very, quality strip. It's very good.
I would go here for lunch.
Yes.
Yeah. I love this. Okay. back to interviewing my client. So yeah, I take the amulet in hand and I sort of peer at it a little bit. I notice that like more than one of the stones is cracked, so they're gonna have to be replaced. And then I go, do you know who made this item? Do you know what their magical background was?
I bought it from this old man at a flea market. He seemed totally legit. And I think it's been working pretty well up until the accident.
Ooh, the accident.
Yeah, that's what she calls dropping it, the accident.
Very ominous.
Yeah. but I don't know his full background. He was just a vendor there.
How long has it needed repair, and when did you decide to bring it to us here?
It's been a couple of weeks, and I was just looking for a place that had good reviews, and you had 4.8 stars on Magical Google. So.
Sorry. Continue.
No, I mean, that's it. I've decided we have 4.8 stars on Google, probably with like 50 reviews. So.
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
Doing pretty good for ourselves.
What's the most important feature to retain, I'm guessing? And what's a feature you don't mind being changed? I guess I'll ask this question in character. So, when we repair things, it doesn't always come out exactly as it was before. It's a very sort of, it's a very intuitive process. And sometimes some aspects of the magic are slightly different, especially depending on like the source of the stones and everything. So is there anything, obviously you want this to continue protecting you, but is, there any aspect of it that you wouldn't, that you're okay with being different, or?
I don't care what stones are in it. Mm-hmm. I just care that it does its job.
Okay, excellent. All right, that's good to know. She, like, writes that down. Well, thank you very much for your business. Thank you so much for your time. I promise you, your project is in good hands. I'll be sure to get it to you by, I could probably get this to you by hopefully the end of the day, but you can definitely try, come pick up. Hold on. She, like, takes a closer look at it and goes, I can have this ready for you in 2 days. Here is, she, like, writes a little note, hands it a card, and goes, here's a time that you can come pick it up. But if it's done before then, can I get some contact info for you so that I can contact you and let you know as soon as it's ready?
Yeah, Marilla gives her phone number kind of reluctantly, but she does give it. And I think that she offers to shake hands.
I give her a hearty, like, clapping both of her hands in my hand and give her just one shake, and I pat her on the back of the hand and says, don't worry, dear. We'll get you sorted out.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Then she fucking runs, doesn't she? She just fucking bolts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I love this for her. All right.
She'll be okay, I swear. Let's track some progress, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me write down my project. Item. Magical protection amulet.
Yeah.
Client. Morella, parentheses, gnomish woman.
Career unknown.
Career unknown. Yeah, I don't know what Morella does, but she clearly needs some protection.
She's clearly seen some shit, yeah.
Yeah. I bet you she, like works with spirits of some kind, and they're not happy with her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Man.
I just get the image of, like, a bureaucrat or something who, like, an inspector situation, right? Where they have to, like, go to sites.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like Morella is maybe, like, the unfortunate soul who, like, after a building gets haunted or something, she's got to go and check out to make sure, like, an exorcism worked or some other means. And
she's in phasmophobia.
Yeah. More than enough times it hasn't worked that she's got some habits now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Poor woman.
Poor woman.
All right. Yeah, tracking progress. All right.
Yep. Everyone gets to do it still.
So while I was doing this, what were y'all up to?
I think Heath, well, kind of like half listening out the door, has gotten along to where they have at least checked through all of the lights. Still not much progress. I'm just going to give them one more tick, but they've determined like how the spirit normally interacts with them at least. And they're focused on, even though it's not like the main thing, they're still adjusting the lights to make sure that they're pointed the right ways and that they, you know, the enchantments and those aren't busted up somehow. There's colors flying around them to help them like kind of do a test against like, can they fend off this massive eldritch spirit, for instance? So, you know, that's what Heath's been up to. How about Lila?
So I think Lila has been, I'm imagining there's like a drop spindle.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to recommend you use.
There's like an enchanted drop spindle that she's attaching the dream stuff to spin it into something physical, but it's not capital D dream filament yet. This is just the first part of the process.
Right now it's like a single ply, very weak, like,
yes,
strand of dream fluff. Like, it's not strong enough to be strung on a lyre, surely.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to like re-spin that like a couple more times, maybe even put it on the spinning wheel to ply it together to itself. Like, you're going to be spinning all fucking day.
There's a lot of equipment to go through there. Yeah.
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 All right. So the progress that I've made on mine is none, because I've so far just looked at it.
Aw, Vera hasn't done some like a little poking around to start with?
I think like so far, like she just got this project. Like as soon as Morella leaves, she just sort of like uses her fingernails to pluck all the gems out of the amulet. and like place them down on her workbench. So like that's like 0.5.
I'd say that's a 1 if nothing else.
Yeah. Fair enough. But yeah, so far the amulet is degemmed.
That's good. That's progress of any kind.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Now we know what everyone's projects are. How are we feeling? How do we want to go for next? Is it time for a confessional of some kind? Does Vera maybe want to talk about experience just had with Morella?
Oh my god. Yeah. I don't think I need to do a confessional yet, actually. Like, I love this, but like I feel like the confessional is like after 5 hours of working on this stupid fucking amulet.
that's okay. Fair. Okay. I think it'd be good to roll with a montage then, just to give everyone a little bit of more rolling around.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Ultimately, sometimes it's just time to work. Whether you're casting or crafting, there's stuff to be done, and it takes time and skill. So let's get started. I feel like I just did like a Texas flippin' move, like narrator segue. I'm gonna be real. This is a scene for as many artisans as want to be involved. You don't need to establish yourself as being in the montage ahead of time. You can just jump in whenever you want. But we'll start with the player who chose the scene, so Yosoi. When we do this, you can choose any one of the moves, and there's a list on the right, and narrate a brief vignette of your artisan performing that move. I almost said artist. Vignettes should be a detailed sentence or two representing a single frozen moment in time as your artisan works. We can take turns choosing moves in any order, but you can't perform two moves in a row. So I'm going to say for Heath, they need to run out for a little bit because like they've realized that what they're doing isn't quite adjusting stuff on this building. It's also like trying to help a spirit be happy. And that's a little bit outside of their wheelhouse. So they have put some thought into this and they're running out the door into the strip mall to like pick up some food from like the takeout shop and a little bit of like raw leaves from the tea shop to try and think of materials that they can help the spirit along with. So like project's still running, like they've gotten their crosshairs locked onto where the spirit is and they've kind of zoomed to that floor and now they're bustling around grabbing things to help appease it.
I'm going to start by sitting down. Vera is sitting down at her workstation, sort of examining the amulet, doing some sketches of it larger scale, and writing down where each gemstone was. You know, just starting to get a sense of, like, what is this object? How can I fix it? How can I improve it, even? Dangerous territory there, right here, but, you know.
Gotta be ambitious.
She's gotta be ambitious. She wants it to protect even better than it was before. Like, I'm talking better gemstones. Like, it replacing maybe the quartz with some tourmalines. And, yeah.
Yeah, make it look mega cool.
Yeah. Ooh, hematite is also apparently a protection stone.
Ooh, very nice.
Yep. I used to, when I was still into that kind of thing, I used to wear hematite rings. And hematite is very brittle, so hematite rings break frequently.
Yeah. Maybe there was a hematite in there already, and that's the one that, like, fully shattered. When the rest of them are, like, a little bit cracked, but, like, still in their spot, the hematite was, like, maybe the amulet came to her in, like, a plastic baggie with the gemstone that broke also in there.
Oh, man. It's just, like, halfway dust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, there's no coming back from that one.
Yeah.
Lila.
I think I'm torn because part of me wants to operate a piece of big machinery, but another part of me wants to mindlessly cast a favorite cantrip as I wait for some process to finish. I think I'm going to go with mindlessly cast a favorite cantrip. She's waiting, you know, she's spun out the dream stuff, but it has to coagulate in reality. So she's just sitting there. Like, I always love the image of somebody snapping their fingers and like producing a little flame. So she does that. She snaps her fingers, produces the flame, you know, shakes her hand to put it out, snaps her fingers, produces a flame.
She's playing with a magical lighter.
Yeah, she's doing the Zippo.
Yeah, she's doing the Zippo thing.
What if...
Except it's...
Yeah. Go on.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what if the dream stuff needs to... Like, what if she's, like, wound it up on a Swift and, like, so dunked it in some sort of alchemical something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah.
That's very good.
Me, a fiber artist, having to think about fiber stuff. Yeah.
We've just started to get into your area of expertise in real life, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I chose musical instruments, and yet here I am with fiber arts.
Yep, yep. It happens to the best of us.
Does it?
And all roads lead back to fiber arts. Yeah. I'll go again. Saying I am going to... I'm going to say, so to start with, I think I'm going to aid the artisan who made the previous move and smack Lila's hand, like, could you not play with fire around the reagents, please?
Yeah, something here nearby is really volatile.
Perhaps and, the alchemical reagent that your fiber is soaking in.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, what
does this immediately turn into a little smacking fight, though?
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah. Just like smacking each other's hands, like.
Yeah, all right. I think Heath popping back in with like a big box of tea and just like two good sized portions of like shawarma and a roll. Just like watching this. And they just sort of, like, one, hold a hand between, and then two, hold out, like, a halved roll for both Lila and Vera to maybe have.
I feel like Vera definitely, like, grabs it in her mouth and just, like, walks off to go sort through her many, many boxes of various scraps of stone that could be useful for this project.
Nice.
She's going through the library of materials to try to find something specific that she's looking for.
In particular, as Vera is doing this, by the way, and here's the actual move. I think Keith is watching watching her as she's working.
Nice. Yeah.
I think Lila takes the half of the roll and just like unhinges her jaw. not literally, but you know the kind of person who's just like, oh, nom, nom,
yeah.
And barely chews. And while she's barely chewing, she's like, thanks.
Yeah.
But that's anyway, yes. Lila and yes, her food.
You. Yeah.
Nice. How y'all feeling? You want to keep this montage rolling?
It's a cute little montage. I'm enjoying it. Oh, interesting. There's one of the moves is take a moment to talk about what you're doing. Play confessional, then continue with the scene. That's interesting.
Oh, is it time finally?
Is it time for a confessional? Does somebody have
I think it's time for a confessional.
Excellent.